Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of this amazing podcast. Our guest today is the Chief Marketing Officer at Vector Global Logistics, an award-winning logistics company that's changing the world through supply chain. In addition to this role, she is the Chief Do-Gooder at Signify, which assists nonprofits and social impact companies through copywriting and marketing strategy consulting. She has over 20 years of professional experience and loves every opportunity to help people do more good. Let's welcome Christy Porter. Welcome, Christy. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. I've been really looking forward to this conversation, and especially because of your current role and the motto that Vector Global Logistics has. I think a lot of the people in the audience would truly relate and feel great about this conversation. And I can't wait to have an amazing conversation and learn more about you and your role and about the industry in this Digital Industrial Revolution podcast series. So to begin with, can you walk us through your journey and what led you to your current role as the Chief Marketing Officer at Vector Global Logistics?
Yes, it is a long and winding path. There have been many steps along the way. I have a background in public relations, business communication, marketing at both for-profit and nonprofit organizations. And then in 2019, I met the co-founder and managing director of Vector Global Logistics through my own company, which you mentioned as well. And we started working together on some marketing projects and really found out that we had a lot of similar mindset when it came to how business should actually act and how it should be making a social impact and doing good in the world. And there's just a lot of synergy in our values and alignment. And so we kept trying to find ways to work together. And then the pandemic happened. And I had lived alone and worked alone and loved it that way. But after a while, I thought I think it would be good for my mental health to join a team again. And so I came with to Enrique with a proposal and said, you don't have a marketing department. I could start your marketing department while working on my other company and help you build that and get the word out about this amazing company. And he wasn't hard to talk into. He said, that sounds like a great idea. We can use the help. Other people need to know about Vector as well. And we really want to revolutionize the industry. And so that's how I ended up joining the team. And so now I work both in my company, and then a lot of my time obviously is spent at Vector as well and promoting our, not only our services, but our impact.
How fantastic. That's amazing. And I think perfect timing as well, because pandemic is when there were like so many disruptions and this industry needed all the help that it could get. So you work on both of those and you are a podcast enthusiast. So I'm curious about your experience co-hosting Logistics with Purpose. What inspired the podcast and what have been some of the most rewarding aspects of hosting it?
Yeah, the podcast actually was there. Enrique was already handling that before I came on board. And so then I became a co-host and sort of built out our systems and processes and helped get guests lined up. And as a managing director, he has a lot on his plate. So I was able to take over some of those responsibilities. And so we actually just passed 100 episodes in March. So that was a huge milestone for our little podcast.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was, as you know, a lot of work to get there. And so, yeah, we have talked to some amazing people doing incredible things. And so, as you mentioned, of course, everybody got a basic in supply chain education during the pandemic and now understands more about how their goods and products get to them and how aid gets to people. And there's a lot of bad news in logistics, unfortunately, but there's a lot of people out there doing amazing work as well, both on the for-profit and nonprofit side. So we wanted to highlight those stories through Logistics with Purpose.
Wow, that sounds amazing. And yeah, now that I think about it, of course, logistics is sort of, you know, in many ways, that network, that backbone that touches so many different industries. And yes, I can relate. You know, it's so fun talking to people a lot smarter than me and, you know, all these different areas. Of course, you know, we did the health tech innovation 2024-25. That was a blast. And I started off by talking to some of my team leads and, you know, the top people that work at Copper Digital. You know, we're on a mission to help businesses solve complex problems using emerging technologies, right, how they can get that competitive advantage. And I felt like this type of a podcast is just so refreshing. I mean, honestly, this is what keeps me going. This is the most exciting part of, you know, my day when I have these podcasts. And, you know, we do these in batches and it's been so much fun. And I've made some really amazing connections as well. But I totally understand. And that's awesome that you've done over 100 episodes. Well, let's dive into Vector Global Logistics. For those who might not be familiar, could you give us a brief overview of what Vector does and how it's making waves in the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking. So Vector Global Logistics, in the most simplest terms, help gets your products from point A to point B. We like to say that we want to change the world. We just happen to be in supply chain. And so our goal is really helping people get the products that they care about from one place to the other, but at the same time, making a social impact. So again, everybody kind of had this basic supply chain education during the pandemic, and we had to figure out creatively how to get things from one place to the other cost effectively a lot of times as well, which is always a concern for people. But that's really what we do, is just make sure things get to one place or from one place to another. So that's kind of the basic way to simplify it for those who don't come from an industry background the way I do. And then how we're making waves is really the impact. There are a lot of extraordinary shipping people and organizations who are doing really good things. Maybe they have a foundation. Maybe they have a community involvement day. As far as we know, we are the only freight forwarding company who actually is built on impact. So it is nothing separate. It is something the entire team participates in, as well as the company. For every container we ship, there is a charity tie-in each country. So we're headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. We have two offices in Mexico, two offices in Chile, an office in Peru, and team members around the world. And so every country has its own charity tie-in. So for every container we send, then there is a direct charity tie-in as well. A portion of those proceeds go to helping somebody in need. So in the U.S., we are partnered with an amazing organization since 2013. We're actually their longest corporate partner. They were our first charity partner as well. And they help provide meals to people in need around the world, as well as disaster relief, as well as much needed medical supplies. So our clients are involved in that one way or the other. Some of them are super proud to be a part of that, knowing that every container they send is helping somebody. Some have their own initiatives. So maybe what we're doing isn't highlighted as much. And that's okay, too. We're going to keep doing what we're doing.
Fantastic. Impact and purpose. I mean, those are just such important ingredients. And honestly, Christy, I think, I mean, in so many books as well, that has been sort of the crux. When you want to build a really amazing company and have the best people flock to you that want to come and help you in your mission, then the best way is to not just have all the profits pointing inwards, but helping somebody. And if it can tie into, you know, like how you described, if it's the medical, you know, type of supplies that are needed. So, of course, with your expertise in logistics, you understand how important it is to get it to the right place at the right time. You know, we work for a transportation company. This is a long time ago. We built an app. It's called Arrive on Time, and that's just for medical supplies. Also for AmerisourceBergen, you know, they claimed, when they actually approached us, they claimed that they ship more, like in e-commerce, they have more volume than Amazon, because, what? You know, a lot of their drugs would cost $100,000 plus, you know, for oncology and other type of medication. So, and that's how we were able to also rally the team and say, guys, this is the kind of app you're building. This is not just a mobile application. It is, you know, doing more business than Amazon. I mean, and that was really important. And that, you know, really helped us get the team aligned and, you know, attract really amazing people. So I love that. Now, did you like bring this? Because I know in your personal initiative, you know, that's what you focus on a lot more. So when you met with the you know, CEO, then is that when you brought this change, or was there some of the elements of it, but you retooled it?
No, they were actually already doing it. And that was one of the things that drew me to the company. As I said, I didn't come from a supply chain background at all. This was prior to the pandemic. So I had limited knowledge, frankly, little interest. And so it was really the giving and the impact that drew my attention and said, I want to be a part of something like this. Even to your point earlier, just about the industry in general, every product that each of us touch on a daily basis has a supply chain component. It may be a fruit or vegetable that comes from just a few miles away, but still has some sort of impact or some sort of supply chain component. Or it could be electronics like we're on right now that may come from halfway around the world. So it really is ingrained in every part of all of our daily lives, and to a large part went non-existent for a lot of us for a long time. But my boss likes to say that logistics is another vehicle for changing the world. And so that is really the premise that our team lives by. And I actually did, I think it was last year when I did our last Vector Global Giving survey just for our team, and asked, you know, how important is our giving back initiatives for you? And 85% of our team said it was very important. It's one of the reasons they work for the company. It's one of the reasons they applied to the company. So we're seeing it on that end. We have clients that also, like I said, value that part of our work. And so I think it was something that was already there.
Fantastic. And I can totally understand, but I want to think about, you know, some of the young people when I am mentoring some startups, then sometimes I hear that, no, Arvind, we want to be authentic and we want to call spade a spade. I just want to make a bunch of money. I'm like, no, but that's not a good goal. And I get it. And yes, when I came to the United States 20 years ago, you know, that's what I could see as well. Like, master's was a means, you know, I wanted to get my master's because I wanted to make money, and just getting a job was most important. And then, of course, a lot of other milestones. But slowly, as I read all these books, like every single book that I read was pointing towards how important it was, what you're doing, like doing good is important. And, you know, same thing for the employees as well. I bet you that's why your retention, you know, is probably higher than across the industry. And I think, yeah, because see, it's very difficult to do anything like individually. What you need is a lot of people putting in a lot of effort. And the best way to do that is to, you know, motivate them around that common goal. And, you know, another word that comes often along with impact and purpose is sustainability. Yeah. And I think that just goes hand in hand. You know, even some of the, you know, favorite companies like, you know, Apple and Amazon, I mean, and a lot of the other corporates as well, they have their sustainability statement. And that is also because of that impact that they want to have. So like, can you explain in a more technical, you know, way that what B Corp certification entails and why it's significant in the context of social impact and responsible business practices, I guess, related to this?
Absolutely. So we were fortunate enough to get our B Corp certification just in the last couple of months. For those of you who are not familiar with it, you've probably seen these products in your grocery store and just didn't realize it's a B with a circle around it. So there's lots of products out there and lots of services as well. Well, I say lots. There are actually about 8,500 companies in the entire world that are certified B Corp. So at this point, it is still a small and growing community. And we are one of the few fortunate companies in our industry as well to be a part of that group. And basically what it means is you meet high standards of environmental and social impact. So we had a very extensive process that we had to go through that covered everything from how you treat your people, how you're treating the environment, how you're running your organization and your governance, how you're treating your community, and how you're treating your clients. And so it was a very all extensive and all in encompassing certification process that took us a couple of years. And really, it just means that we are striving to be the best that we can be. And we were actually graded. You can go on, one of the transparency aspects of the certification is you can go on to B Corp's website and look at the profile of any company that has certified. And so you can see how they scored in each one of those areas. So there's a transparency factor as well. Some of the more popular B Corps that people have probably heard of are like Patagonia, Tom's Shoes, Ben and Jerry's. And so some of our favorite products are already in that group. Tom's of Maine. So a lot of consumer goods, a lot of prepackaged products like that. B2C is always a driver because there's always a lot more public pressure as far as your stakeholders to do good and do well for the planet and your people and the environment as well. And so there are a number of outside pressures. So B2C is always the first to go. I feel like B2B is always lagging behind them, but we're hoping to help bring that up in our industry as well. And yeah, so basically it means that we have done our homework, done our due diligence, and are continuing to try and strive and improve to be better in all of those facets.
Fantastic. That's so lovely. And you're right. Most of these companies would want to build a community that is in the consumer space, like Patagonia, of course,
right.
You know, my favorite as well. You know, it's very motivating. So I was in Patagonia just earlier this year. I did some hike and I set myself a goal to, you know, lose 40 pounds. I didn't lose 40 pounds, but I like to have like moonshot goals. But it was such an amazing experience and such a great learning. And I know that the founder also, you know, went out there and then looked at the peak and, you know, the way that the peak is. And I understand now that that is the kind of brand it is.
Yeah.
And the other ones that you mentioned as well, you know, Ben and Jerry's. But you're right that usually it'll be the consumer type companies because mm-hmm. they could see just such a huge value by promoting that as well. I mean, be genuinely good, but also talk about it and let your potential customers know. But I think in B2B, it's seen less often. So for those companies who would like to take initiative, is there a baby step? Because, you know, in some books that I've read, it's like, you know, sustainability is just so important. Even if you have something small, like we're going to eliminate styrofoam cups and instead, you know, give everybody, you know, recycle a type of maybe a mug. And that's what you use to, you know, for your water, your coffee or whatever. I think even that step is just so, so amazing. And it just helps, you know, like in leadership, it's just very important and it brings the team together. Are there other steps that you can recommend for, you know, companies who want to eventually, you know, become, let's say, a B Corp, but want to take some baby steps?
Yeah, for sure. And we don't believe everybody needs to be a B Corp. In fact, there's lots of other certifications. So the goal is to be better. So if anybody's interested in becoming a B Corp, or even if you're not necessarily wanting to take that path, but just want kind of a scorecard, you can go to the B Corp website and there's an assessment that you can take. That's open to anybody. It's free. Tens of thousands of companies, they said, have completed it. And so it will ask you very minutia-oriented questions. So how much water do you consume? How much electricity? Where does your electricity come from? Do you do carbon offsetting? Do you have a environmental policy for your remote workforce, which is something that we had to develop as well. And I hadn't really considered that. So it really covers everything and is a great tool to at least kind of get your score, think of things you'd never thought about before, and then make an improvement plan. So as a B Corp, we just got certified in March 2024. We have to recertify every 3 years. So the goal for any company in the community is to try and increase your score every year. What are you doing in the meantime? So you always have that assessment to go back to, and you can bookmark things, you can make it plans, you can say, this is where we want to start. So it's really just a great tool. Again, whether you ever want to go down the path of becoming a B Corp or not, it's a really good one to look at because it is so all-encompassing in every area of your business. So that's a great one to start with. And of course, there are lots of amazing organizations out there. Even carbon offsets, of course, that's a big thing. It's in some circles, it's very controversial. Is that the best thing? I don't know if it's the best thing. It's a thing. And I would rather people do something than do nothing. So I think having those baby steps and doing your research, even if it's providing this, you know, instead of disposable cups, providing reusable ones to your staff, then that's a step you can take as well. But first step is awareness.
Love it. Okay, good. And what about specifically in the logistics and transportation industry? Like, how important is it for the logistics industry to prioritize social impact alongside the profitability?
Yeah. Well, as I said, every product we all touch on every day, I mean, it's just unfathomable really to think about. The supply chain and logistics are everywhere. I typically have the news on all day long because everything is supply chain related. So I can say this is somebody we should talk to. This is somebody we should know. This is what's happening in the world. Here's what's going on with the, you know, Suez Canal or the Panama Canal or in the Middle East or in Ukraine. So it's all relevant to all of us. And that means we all need to, you know, everybody in our industry needs to start really taking responsibility for that. And I think we're seeing a lot of positive steps. And that's the good news. So obviously, sustainability, as you said, is a huge factor. There we have talked to, again, incredible people doing amazing things you'd never think of, such as adding sails to cargo and container ships, to rebuilding them completely in a different way to be more sustainable, to biofuel, lots of people cutting costs, cutting carbon, finding more efficient routes even. So that's happening at the highest levels on down to the smallest of companies. But I think everybody more and more is realizing whether it's altruistic or because of public pressure that they do need to take some sort of responsibility. And so I think we're continuing to see that, and that's a really good thing. But as large a footprint as not just companies like that are directly related to shipping, but anybody in the phrase of logistics and supply chain just needs to take ownership. And I think we're starting to see a lot of that because we do have such an impact to play. Therefore, we need to make a positive one in return.
Totally. And, you know, we see airlines as well. When we're trying to compare different flights, it tells you the carbon emissions. Yes. And, you know, of course, I think that's also logistics. So super important. Well, let's switch gears to challenges. And I guess alongside the innovation in logistics space. So in your opinion, what are the biggest challenges that logistics industry is facing today? And how can companies overcome these challenges through innovation and collaboration?
Yeah, and I think in our industry, which is such a traditional industry, I think our biggest asset and our biggest challenge is people. No surprise, that could probably be said of any industry. So you saw everything from one of the reasons the supply chain largely broke during the pandemic was because it is so human touch and high oriented. If one person got COVID, the whole port had to be shut down. We're seeing it today as far as rebels attacking ships, as far as just, you know, could be inefficiencies. We saw the unfortunate crash into the Baltimore port. We saw, you know, Russia attacking Ukraine, which has had an enormous global impact on the supply chain. So, but it's also the people are our greatest asset, right? Our team is our greatest asset. And so it's kind of on both sides and how you treat it. And so from our perspective, one of the things we like to say is we don't want to be your logistics provider. We want to be your logistics partner. And that's because really we want to be an extension of someone's business. The best way we can help them is not a one-time shipment, you know, by air, by ocean, by rail, by road. It is, do we know the ins and outs of their business? You know, my team is constantly looking for ways to improve efficiencies, improve routes, improve communication, and tracking. And so, but that takes a long time partnership, and that takes a lot of trust, and that takes a lot of, you know, being in each other's lives and being willing to get in there and stick with them in the long term. And so that's unfortunately a lot of what we see in our industry. There is a lot of turnover. We get emails every day that say, give us your cheapest price on X. And I understand it, you know, prices affect everybody's pocketbook. We see constantly on the news about inflation, about things breaking, about, you know, the cost to the individual person as well as companies. So I get it. But there's also a short-term impact that you could really straighten out in the long term. And so I think as far as innovation, human creativity is really, we will have AI, we will have robotics, we will have all of that continue. We have the cloud, we'll have continued increase in all of those things. But your people really are your greatest asset, and being able to train them and having your clients partner with you for the long term is really the most creative thing you can do, because they're going to be able to look to your own, you know, what we like to say is we treat their business as their own. And so being able to find ways that we can save you money, being able to find creative routes, and which is, of course, what had to happen during the pandemic when a lot of the main ports could be shut down at any one time. Or we're seeing a lot of those things return as we see these global uprisings, circumstances. I was in Panama last year and saw the low water levels through the canal and how that's really affecting the number of ships that can go through the Panama Canal. And so all of that has an enormous effect, and we will all leverage technology to our best ability. Our team will do that. Other teams will do that, and we want to do that. But it also takes that human ingenuity.
A lot to unpack in that. Thank you for explaining that so well. I think first, of course, it's important to be in the know. What are the what's happening around the world? What's in the news? What are the geopolitical issues? What are some of the other challenges? And that would continue, of course. I mean, there's going to be different types of challenges. I mean, no one could predict the pandemic and, of course, the Ukraine war. I think almost no one could predict. I mean, there were, of course, signs from the U.S. And that, of course, impacted a lot of the produce and then the sanctions that followed. And you're so right about, you know, the Houthi rebels around, you know, that area attacking those ships. So I guess the first point is to be in the know.
Yep.
And in terms of innovation, I mean, the way that it's defined is like, you know, obviously creativity and trying to put two things together that normally would not. And that's like trying something new. So being like out of the box. And when something like that happens, then of course, you know, you want to be coming up with ideas. You want to be coming up with the solutions and not just, you know, getting bogged down with the problems. And I love the collaboration aspect as well, because of course, not only do you collaborate among your employees and teams that are responsible, but also partner with the customer. You know, we have similar goals, like, you know, there's no matter what that we're going to leave any customer unhappy. That just does not exist. We cannot do that. And I feel like, you know, that's so true across so many different industries, including the logistics industry.
No company thinks they have enough, right? And so they could have two people in their logistics department. They could have 2,000 people, but nobody feels like they have enough. And I'm sure you see that on your end as well. And no one of us can know enough either. There's so much happening at all times. So even if they are monitoring their own trends, this morning I saw a report go out from one of our managing directors to clients that he typically works with and said, here are the latest updates. Here's what you need to prepare for. And so did they know that? They may, but they may not know everything he said in there. And so it takes us all working together, whether it's internally our information, sharing amongst our team or sharing with our clients to make sure everybody's doing what they can to the best of their ability. But nobody's going to say, oh yeah, we have plenty of people in this department. We don't need any more help, right? That just doesn't happen. So everybody feels the squeeze. And I think, you know, we're all trying to figure out the best way to solve those problems, but we all could use an extra helping hand. And so I think that kind of that collaboration is key across the departments and across companies as well.
So that's understandable. And I think that's what leads to having a lot of the things done more efficiently using technology. So now let's, you know, talk tech, technology and logistics. So how does Vector leverage technology to streamline its logistics and supply chain solutions? And what role does innovation play in staying ahead of the curve using, you know, technology?
Yeah, we have a few key areas that we typically play in. So first of all, is just seems sort of basic, but some of the things that are basic in our everyday worlds are still kind of novel in our industry. So is having a client portal, letting them be able to go in and track their things, where the ships and planes are, how is everything happening? Can they get this invoice on their own? So just being able to have those tools at their fingertips again, which sounds so ordinary for all of us that have Amazon accounts, right? But it is not in this industry. There's still a lot of that happening. Same way with
I heard also that this is the number one trend, like transparency. Like a lot of the projects in logistics space are around transparency around your freight. Like where is it? You know, and sometimes it may be important, like for you know, some products, that what's the temperature and is it, you know, all of that stuff is so important for us to plan or for the customer to plan.
Yeah, that's one of the things we use too, is tracking technology. So it is everything from just simply where is it located to if you have something that's cold chain from fruits and vegetables down to medications. So what is the temperature above one degree higher and this thing is no good anymore? So you could lose a whole shipment. So being able to do that, it could also be simply tracking where it's at, because it isn't going to a major suburb in the U.S. It is going to a very remote place in India or Africa or South America or, all of these places that it's not heavily on the radar for a lot of us. So making sure it arrives safely, which is also a key concern with humanitarian aid, is it getting to who it needs to go to? We've seen that, unfortunately, in Ukraine as well, ships, and in other places too, but aid not getting to where it needs to be, or it gets to a border and can't get across. And so we've heard reports of, goods just literally being left on the side of the road, which nobody wants to happen. So anything from that kind of technology to give our clients peace of mind, whether it's mainstream consumer goods or some specialty item like that, or a highly valuable item as well. So those are two ways. We also have technology just internally that makes sure the right documents and the right things that are going to the right team members. And so internally, just making sure the streamlining of things are happening, that the correct documentation, the correct invoice, the correct emails are going to the right team member, which again, it sounds very like, well, of course, but you'd be surprised in this industry. And then also just technology that we've just implemented that we're super excited about with our new revamped customs brokerage program for imports coming into the United States. So there's an AI piece to that as well. And I believe we're one of the first companies in the country to use that kind of technology. So even being able to spread it to things like customs, which again, we're very people heavy driven, making sure documents were in the right place, but being able to add an AI component there. So we are typically looking for ways to continue to innovate. And technology is, of course, a piece of that. People have to operate it and it has to be done well, but the technology is what makes that more efficient and effective for our clients. So that's what we're going to continue striving for.
Love that. So customer portal, of course, extremely important. Of course, that goes along with the transparency trend. And then all the other things that you described as well, like the proper processes, that efficient flow of documentation. And then you mentioned about AI specifically for products that require that custom clearance and getting that right documentation, done for the customs or whatever other ways there may be. I think that seems like a lot of value for somebody who wants to import, from other countries. And you also talked about the Ukraine example. And, I'm a little bit of an adventure seeker as well. So against my mom's wish, I actually ended up in Ukraine, in Lviv, after the war had already started. I mean, just wanted to get some of the stories out. And, on my personal channel, I posted a video as well. And it was refreshing to see that the life was unlike how sometimes sitting here, we would imagine, like there was music playing and people going to bars and, having those conversations. But what took me like the longest time was crossing the border. Mm-hmm. And that was both sides. There were people who were actually carrying products and giving along the way, like the big minivan that I ultimately, paid 20 euros to get to Lviv.
Wow.
And so that was also something that I was able to see that, wow, logistics is just so important and people come up with new ways. And of course, if we could manage a lot of that through technology, that's really, really impactful and important.
Yeah.
What about data analytics in like optimizing processes to leverage data to drive decision making? And I know that some of that, would be a stepping stone, after the basic transparency and the customer portal and, capturing the data through IoT for the temperature and all of that good stuff and using AI. But what about like overall data analytics for decision making? Have you tried anything in that domain?
Yes. So, of course, I am head of our marketing department. So data informs a lot of our marketing decisions and to see what's operating well, where are people coming from, what channels, what outlets, what messaging is resonating with them. So kind of standard marketing things. From RT's perspective, one of the things that has been more of a manual process to this point, which we're actually in the process of building our own performance portal that we call it, because we want to track everything from, how long, not just maybe how long does a vessel or a plane, how long does it take from a booking to arrival, but internally as well. How long did invoicing this take? How long does it take to close a file? How long does it take to move from one process to the other? So being able to measure all of that within our own team's performance as well, looking for, okay, quoting takes this long, or the administration process takes this long. Operating this kind of shipment typically involves these steps and takes this amount of time. But looking at those to get more standards and baseline to help them improve the efficiency of our team as well. Or, you know, so-and-so has a really amazing process that they've discovered. Why, you know, let's make sure they're training the team as well. And so so a lot of that has been done, is in progress, and it is being shared amongst our team. But we are actually building our own portal to make that data more readily available as well. And so that will be one key aspect for our own internal trainings, as well as just to see the regular data points that we can for tracking and shipping and arrival notifications. And yeah, our incredible operations team that is way smarter than me that manages this stuff all day long.
That sounds fantastic. So all the way from marketing to, of course, shipping time and notifications. And I mean, I can imagine, just knowing enough to be dangerous there. But I think if there is that close feedback loop where you could, feed in certain parameters, there may be ways to predict some of the delays that may be coming up. As an example, I like to give this example a lot, but there's a company that we helped build a demand forecasting solution. Yeah. So they're nationwide all over the US, and they supply, HVAC technicians across different, even homes. So we built a solution, a platform for them where there are multiple parameters, including the weather data that could now predict, you're going to get so many calls, so that they could have enough of that staff plan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so rewarding to see the results. And, one thing that I feel like is because they're a large company and nationwide, so they could afford and collect all that data. But what about, somebody who is a small, medium-sized business? And I think that's what is going to now, become available in the next, few years.
Sure.
Where even they could, run that AI model on, Amazon Web Server or, on OpenAI or any of these tools. But I think our world's just going to change so much. It's fantastic. And logistics industry, of course, being the backbone is, doing a lot.
Yeah, for us, it's also, so we have three values at Vector. We have, we're passionate about people. We're dedicated to logistics with purpose, and we're a results only mindset. And so for us, part of that data is built on the fact that our clients, we're not happy until our clients are happy. So we're going to give them the results that they need. And so for us, of course, that comes down to not just our own systems and processes, but those data points as well. And so that was, and even in lean times for the company, there has been an emphasis on getting this information. If it's a manual process, if it's something we're in the process of building, if it's a collaborative environment, but between a team trying to figure this out, but having a results only mindset at our company is one of our highest values. And so to be able to do that, we had to have good data to do that. So it's kind of also looking at not only what's important to your company, but what are you willing to go the extra mile for? And for us, that was one of those things.
Love that. Love that results oriented approach. And, sometimes we use the phrase outcomes that are just so important. Like, it's not about just finishing to the spec platform that we built for a manufacturing company, for a steel fabricator, but instead, how did the people, the employees adopt it, and what kind of data were they able to collect to do good and to do better? And, have more impact.
Yeah.
So I love that. Well, finally, Christy, based on your experience and expertise, I guess, what advice would you offer to aspiring professionals that are looking to make an impact in this field of logistics and supply chain management?
Yeah, I think it comes down to networking. I mean, that's how I've ended up in so many great places. There's always someone willing to give you some advice or help you along the way. Podcasts, of course, are a great way to learn more about what's happening in the world. But I think it also starts just, again, back to the word mindset. As I said, the field was pretty limited for a long time to if you wanted to have an impact, if you wanted to do well, then you kind of felt like you either only had a few choices. Not everybody's a Patagonia, unfortunately. And then you had nonprofits. So there just wasn't a lot of options, a lot of people felt. So now that path has opened up so much. So I think being able to take your skills, take your passions and channeling it into a place where you can really make a difference, however that looks for that company. But, you know, many of us, as you said, that's who people want to work for. We have a largely workforce primarily in their 20s, but kind of spans across different generations as well. And everybody is looking for that. Nobody wants to show up and waste so much of their time in a place where their work doesn't matter in some aspect. And so I think more and more companies have gotten that memo. We're starting to see more communities pop up around businesses that want to do good, whether it's B Corp or conscious capitalism, or in Georgia, there's also Go Beyond Profit. So there's lots of those amazing organizations who are catalysts for companies that want to do good. So I think it starts with the mindset of not just having a narrow field, but really thinking, I can do just about anything, but what am I most interested in? And then finding those people and then networking with them. That's how I've come across every great opportunity in my career, is just opening up my mind and then opening up my network to see what's out there. So continue to look, and I know you'll find it.
Lovely. What a great advice, and what a great conversation as well around logistics, supply chain, social impact, innovation, technology. I mean, digital transformation. I love that. So thank you. Thank you so much. This has been such an amazing conversation. And for our listeners, you know, this is fantastic. You know, your journey is definitely a testament to the power of social impact and sustainability. You know, that when merged with the company's goals, you know, makes it just climb new heights that are never imagined before. And, you know, it's something that everyone can learn, that success isn't just about driving sales. It isn't just about profitability, but it's about, you know, that culture of innovation and building strong partnerships and having an impact and, you know, have building an organization that's purpose driven. So thanks again to Christy for sharing her experience and insights. If you enjoyed the conversation and want to hear more thought leaders, stay tuned. We're going to be back soon with another inspiring guest. Until next time, this is your host, Arvind Sarin. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Christy. Bye-bye.
Yeah.